O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. The gospel reading that we just heard read is at the very heart, the very center of what we believe as Christians. It's the core mystery of Christianity. It's what we call the incarnation. God with us, Emmanuel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things, and so it goes on and on and on and on. And we say, oh yes, we've heard all that before. But the very words beg us to ask more. Who is this Word of God? Who is this light that shines? The Greek word for word here is logos, from which we get our word logic. So John is saying in these few words that before there was anything, there was the logic of God, there was the mind of God, there was God. And some people say, well, it's all a fluke, there is no God. And as you see the wonders around us, and yet logic will tell you simply that there has to be something behind it all. When you see solar systems and DNA and molecules and everything under a microscope, and you think that happened randomly? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. So the Bible teaches us that before the world began, there was the logic of God, there was the mind of God. And Jesus Christ came as the Logos, as the logic of God on this earth. Came in flesh. And the Greek word for flesh is sarx, which means the entire being, not just the body, but body, mind, and spirit. The body, mind, and spirit of God came upon this earth and lived among us. So what? We have to ask that question. Why does it matter? In the first place, why did God do such a thing? Why would God feel it necessary to come upon this earth in the form of a human being and live among us? Reminds me of a story of a young priest who was called to minister to an older woman who had lost her husband. She was a widow. And he went, and with all his earnest intent, as much comfort as he could give, and all the words that we're supposed to say in those cases, he said, even though he had not experienced the death of anyone close to him. And so he was doing the best he could. When an older woman walked into the room and simply walked over to the lady, and she embraced the grieving person and said, I understand. I understand what you're going through. You see, usually these are not great words to say because we really don't understand what the person is going through. But this woman did, because she had been there. She had gone through the same things. And God, in fact, in Christ came on this earth to live as we live, to live among us, as the scripture says. Not that he had to. He could say, I understand what you're going through. And then we could say, well, I don't think you do, because you've never been here and done that. And now he can say, yes, I have. I have been there in your shoes and done that. This is unique to the Christian faith, by the way. The followers of Buddha do not believe that Buddha was a god, but a great prophet, a great enlightened person. The followers of Muhammad believe that he was a great prophet who died and was buried and still is dead. Christianity is the only faith that believes that God came in bodily form into this earth. As we say, Christ is died, he's risen, and he's ascended into heaven. We're the only religion that believes that. Only in Christ does Jesus come, like us and human beings. And as the scripture said, he tabernacled with us, which is another way of saying he pitched his tent with us. And in the Old Testament, the tabernacle was the localized presence of God. So when the scripture says he tabernacled with us, among us, what does that mean? Where do we find the presence of God? Where do we find God living? Where is the most sacred place where God lives? Well, the answer is in each one of you. God is tabernacled in us as Christians, as children of God. And as Paul says, in Jesus, all fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And we are all full of grace and truth, as we say. Christ dwelling in us. Well, we might say, we've heard all this before. It's so obvious, I know it already. I've heard it before. Well, do we really? You know, I'm preaching to myself, really, because I tend to lose touch with the fact of the incarnation, the implication of the incarnation. And that's one of the blessings of coming together as we have this morning, is to support our fellowship. It's impossible, I think, to be a church of one. We need each other. We need to gather together and support each other and constantly remind ourselves of what is obvious, that God came in human form to live among us. It's amazing to think about. Years ago, I was walking on the family farm in North Florida that had been in the family for many generations. And I happened to look, and there was a huge ant bed. And I remember thinking, as these little creatures were scurrying about in their own little world, I remember thinking, I wonder if they understand what's standing above them and looking down. And of course, I don't think they did. And then I thought, if I had the power to become an ant and could take my humanity down to them, I could help them understand that. And of course, I couldn't. And then I began to realize that there's such a chasm between me as a human being and the ant, that's great, but it's not as great as the chasm between us and God. As we try to understand God, we're almost like the ants in the anthill. We're running around busily doing our thing and not really fully realizing what God is about. And God said, they don't really understand, and so came in human form to help us understand. Because you see, Christ said, if you know me, you know the Father. And so God took on human flesh. And that means now we can glimpse some of the character and the personage of God. Go into the deeper mysteries of God, not because of our powers, but because of the gift of Jesus Christ, who came on this earth with the Spirit and power of God and dwelt among us. Amen.